We're in a new series I'm excited about because the series is called Fearnoia. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I was afraid. I was mainly afraid of the dark. And it was so bad, I had to sleep with the nightlight on, and thank God I overcame that like last year. You know, it was bad because I remember I would go to a friend's house. Can never forget the very first slumber party I ever went to. And it was just a bunch of my friends from school, and we went there, and thank God it was at a Christian school, because this lady that we went to her house, and she was just very kind, and she was a Christian, and she just cared for me. I mean, she could sense the anxiety stepping in as it got closer to bedtime, and everybody's kind of going into the routine of going to bed and finding a place where they're going to sleep and rolling out our sleeping bags. And I knew what was coming, and I knew that the lights were going to be turned off. And sure enough, the lights are turned off, and it's pitch black, and I'm in this strange place, and just panic sets in. And I remember I started crying. I was embarrassed because I was with my friends, and thank God Cynthia was there, and she too. No, Cynthia wasn't there. I'm just playing. So this mother comes in, and she senses what's going on, and she just comes and she says, "David, let me pray with you." And so she prayed with me, and I wish I could tell you that that helped. It didn't. You know, I was still afraid. But you know what did help is she gave me a Bible. She just said, "You know what? This always helps me. It always brings peace into my life, and you just hold on to it, and this is God's word, and you know it will make you strong in times when you're afraid." And I remember going to sleep holding that Bible, just gripping that Bible. I tell you that story because fear is a very real thing. It doesn't matter if your parents tell you there's no such thing as monsters. It doesn't matter if your parents say, "Don't be afraid, everything's going to be fine." I don't think that it really works when your parents say that. We would love for it to work, but fear has this ability to grip us and to paralyze us, actually. They say the three most common fears that people deal with are spiders, snakes, and heights. I think Christians also have another fear that they deal with, and that's something called a rapture phobia. And that's the fear that you're going to miss the rapture. At least that's the way when I grew up, I was always afraid I was going to miss the second coming of Jesus. And, you know, so that was a fear that I grew up with. Maybe, hopefully, you don't grow up with that as well. I think that these fears are common issues that we all face that speak to deeper-seated issues in our lives. Things that are really deep-seated, like being afraid of dying. You know, maybe you haven't never faced that. But you know what? Every single one of us, unless the rapture doesn't happen, every single one of us will face that time in our lives. I recently talked to Tom Redden. His cancer's not doing good, and he says, "You know, I know I'm going to die." He says, "I'm a little concerned because I've never done that before." And I think that's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of us. It's whenever we step into these opportunities or whenever we step into these situations where we've never done that before. There's a bit of uncertainty that's there. It's not just uncertainty. It's an issue that really causes us to wrestle with ourselves. So when I say fear is a real thing, I'm not just flippantly saying that. I'm saying fear is a very real issue. It's not child's play. And I think there's a part of it in that the older we get, the more that's at stake in our lives. In other words, you can be afraid for your family's sake because you're responsible for your family. You can be afraid for your kids. You can be afraid of losing your job because of your livelihood. And there's all these things where it's just like real. Here's the problem. If we don't address the fear issue in our life, what can happen is fear can actually create a spiritual deficiency in our lives that really affects how we live spiritually. You might be familiar with this scripture, and if you're not, maybe this would be a good one for you to memorize, seriously. I'm sure you've heard it before. If you've ever heard anyone talk or any pastor talk about fear, 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." We read that scripture, and I think sometimes what we do is we think, well, because of that scripture, I should have absolutely no fear because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. I don't necessarily know that that's true. I don't even know that that's possible, that we could actually live without fear. Here's a fill-in on your notes if you want to write this in. We can't actually be fearless, but we can fear less. You can't actually be fearless, but you can fear less. Because fear is an emotion that you can't prevent. It's natural, but we can bring it into check. Fear can actually be a good thing because it keeps you out of trouble and it can keep you away from things that you need to be kept away from. Some of you need more fear than what you have in certain areas of your life. If we don't keep fear in check, what will happen is it'll paralyze us and limit us, actually dwarf our spiritual growth. It can actually keep us from the life that God has for us. I think we tend to think, if I had more courage and faith, I could defeat fear. The problem is when we buy into that, which sounds really good, if I could just have more courage and more faith, I could defeat fear. When we buy into that, we're naturally discouraged because fear is natural. It's a part of every one of our lives. Here's another fill-in if you want to write it down. Courage and faith are not responses to the absence of fear, but how we respond in fear. Courage and faith are not responses in the absence of fear. We would all pray and we all love God and we all say, hey, God, can you take away this? Can you help me in this? Can you remove this issue? That doesn't develop courage. Courage is developed in how we respond while we're facing our fears. And all of us have real fears. It's kind of sad because fear is not something that we're born with. It's something that we learn over time. So when we read the scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I think if we're really going to be honest with ourselves, and hopefully we can all be honest with ourselves, maybe there's something going on in your life right now that has more to do with fear than power, love, and a sound mind. And we have to come to terms with that and understand that God's not disappointed with us in that. We have to come to terms with that and understand that God is with us in this. As we're going to look at today, God is in the process of developing courage in our lives. He wants to develop courage in your life. But that is something that we have to participate with Him in. God does not want us to be limited or paralyzed by fear. And in the Bible, it actually says, do not be afraid, is mentioned 120 times, if you can believe that. 120 times the scriptures tell us, do not be afraid. 131 times it says, do not fear. So I would say that God has us on His radar. He understands the frailty. He understands our natural inclinations, that we're naturally prone to be afraid. And He steps in because He cares about us. And I think that He wants to grow us and He wants to instill courage in all of us, regardless of where we're at, how long you've been following God. And I don't care if you've been following God all of your life. You never outgrow fear. Fear has many faces. And I think what we need to understand is fear can limit you or it can leverage you. And I think that's something that you have to decide. Andy Stanley is a pastor in Georgia of a large church. He makes this great statement I wanted to use. It says this, whenever there is fear, there is opportunity. Whenever there is great fear, there is great opportunity. That's a great statement. Wherever there is fear, there's going to be opportunity. Wherever there is great fear, there's even a greater opportunity. And that's when we have to decide, is our fear going to limit us or leverage us? Is it going to paralyze you or propel you forward? That's something that only you can decide. I also think that fear can be a great benchmark in our lives because what fear reveals is what you value most. When you look at your fears, it's really about what, like, I know my life is my, if you look at my greatest fears, there's like, I don't know, 1, 2, 3. First one, you know, my fear, if there's anxiety or sometimes creep in and it'll be about Cynthia or it'll be about the boys, my family. It could also be about my parents sometimes. It also can be about this church because they're benchmarks. What we value most is what you're going to be most fearful in. But another benchmark that I think we need to be aware of that it reveals is where we trust God least. It's not just what we value most, but I think we got to be honest with ourselves, and that is, this is an area where we trust God least. And I say that with the utmost respect. It is not, it's from this place that we have to go, wow, okay, I really am not trusting God in this area in my life, and I need to. That's a good thing to be aware of. You can look all through the Bible, look through the scriptures, and see men and women that find themselves facing threatening situations, find themselves facing life-threatening situations, if you would. And yet their courage sets them apart. And we see them and go, wow, these people are just like out of the box spiritual. These people are like so far beyond us. And we think, there is absolutely no way that I could ever be like this individual. But yet scripture is very clear that every person in the Bible is human just like you, just like me. Today what I want us to look at is the guy that always has spoken to me. His name is King David. You know a story probably if you've been in church any time. One of the stories that we know most about King David is him killing this 9-foot giant called Goliath. Maybe you're not aware that as a shepherd, boy in his youth and even in his childhood, David was forced to face fear in the face. Scripture mentions that David killed a lion and a bear with his slingshot. Now, we know that David killed Goliath when he was still young. He was still a early youth. And David killed a lion and a bear even before that, when he was just a kid. And you know that when he's facing this lion and this bear that could easily kill a man three times his size, you know that David dealt with fear. You know that it scared him. And I think what God was teaching David is an important lesson for all of us, and that is facing your fears with God increases your confidence in God. Facing your fears with God increases your confidence in God. Because here's what David writes in Psalms. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? He goes on and he says this, I prayed the Lord, he answered, and he freed me from all of my fears. So actually, David did have fears. David was addressing his fears, and God was growing him in this process. So David learned not to allow fear to limit him, but leverage him. And there came a time in David's life when he was forced to face a greater fear, greater than a lion and greater than a bear, and that was a 9-foot giant named Goliath, the strongest man in the land, the scripture says, and he put fear into every man. All of the Israeli army was there, and he would stand out and he would taunt them and tell and challenge anyone to come, and absolutely no one would take that. No one would take that opportunity, which I think is just, it's crazy. Goliath was from this city called Gath, and that's where this showdown takes place. I don't know if you're interested, but I have a friend who's an archaeologist, and so he goes and he does archaeological digs and everything, and I have this piece of pottery that's in here. If any of you want to see it, it's kind of cool. I think it's cool. Maybe you think it's boring. This piece of pottery is actually dug up in the city of Gath, and it dates back to the time of David and Goliath. It dates back, they find it in layers and all that, and it dates back to the time when David and Goliath had this encounter. So it's kind of cool to have this piece of pottery when we're talking about that. If you want to see it later, you can come and I can show it to you. But David's still a youth, and he has this confidence in God. So when no one was willing to take on Goliath, David says, hey, I'll do it. And I don't want us to miss an important issue when it comes to David taking on Goliath, because we might think that David was a stud, and maybe he was a stud. I don't know. But I want you to write this down. David didn't believe that the strongest man would win the fight. He believed that God would win the fight. I think that's a very important point. David never believed that the strongest man would win the fight. David knew he wasn't stronger than Goliath. David believed that God would win the fight. And here's what David said. The Lord has rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. He will rescue me from this Philistine also. And I don't know if you hear the confidence, but it's there. I should have made this a fill-in for your notes because I think it's just a great point. But we overcome our fears not because circumstances change, but because our awareness of God changes. And I think that's exactly what David was going through. He didn't have this courage because his circumstance changed. He had this courage because his awareness of God had changed in his life. This is also a fill-in. It says this, that David didn't see himself as the answer to the challenge. Here David is facing this huge challenge, has fear all over it, but David doesn't see himself as the answer to the challenge. But I think that's how we all face our fears, isn't it? Don't we face our fears and go, oh, there's no way I can do that. Don't put me in that situation. I can't do that. Okay? We're saying that we are the answer to the challenge, and we can't match up to that challenge. David didn't see himself as the answer to the challenge. He didn't have confidence in himself. David had confidence that God was greater than Goliath. That's an important point. David knew that God was greater than Goliath. He knew that he was not greater than Goliath. I think that's part of our problem. We face our fears through the lens of what we stand to lose rather than what God stands to gain. Don't you find that true? We look at the things that cause fear, we look at them through this lens of what we stand to lose rather than what God stands to gain. Just before David engages with Goliath, he has this conversation, and part of what he says is, he says this, the whole world is going to know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here is going to know that God rescues his people. He wasn't saying, hey, you know what? I'm the bad one here. I'm the one that's going to take you down. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to be the baddest man in the land because of this. He said everybody's going to know that God rescues his people. So how do we build this confidence? David built this confidence. God built it in David's life, and I think that he wants us to have that same kind of confidence. So how do you build this confidence? I think the first one is this. You have to believe that God rescues his people. You have to believe that. Seriously believe it. I just read what he said. The whole world's going to know that there's a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here is going to know that the Lord rescues his people. And what I'm talking about is more than knowing the story. It's more than knowing about God. It's more than knowing what God can do. It's more than being acquainted with God's abilities. See, we'll never have confidence in God until we believe God, actually. Okay, please hear that. You will never have confidence in God until you start believing God. When God says that he's your provider, you can say, oh, man, I hope that's true. And there comes a point where you got to start believing who God is. And here's what I mean. Knowledge allows us to be a spectator. Knowledge allows us to be a spectator from the sidelines, to observe. But the problem is we never enter into the story. Okay? So when I know about God, what I do is I watch other people engage with God. I listen, and other people are telling stories about what God has done in their lives. I don't know if you've ever heard people say things like that. Like, man, God healed me. Or, man, God has done this in my life. Or, God has done this in my life. And you sit back and you go, wow, I wish that was me. Part of the problem can be that we have a knowledge of what God can do, but we're not entering the story. When we have to believe, it forces us to enter into the story. It's one thing to say, I know that God can heal. It's quite another thing to say, I absolutely believe that God can heal. And even if he doesn't heal me, I absolutely believe that God can heal. There's a big difference in that. And here's what that means. What it means is we don't run away from our fears. We don't avoid them. We have to face them with God. So an example is you've been in a relationship and you've been hurt, and so you swear, that's it. I'm not going to enter into any more relationships because I always get hurt, blah, 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 whatever it might be. And the temptation is just to keep people at arm's distance. And God says, listen, I created you for relationship with myself and with other people, and so I need you in this relationship. And you go, nah, you know what, I can't do this because I've been hurt before. And God says, I told you I will be with you. There comes a point where you have to believe it. Or you can just say, you know, God says he's going to be with me, and I don't know, I'm just going to have to sit and watch. No, if that puts you on the sideline, if you want to be a part of God's story, you have to believe and take a step. That means this. That means, you know what, I might have fear, but I'm going to trust God in my fear that this relationship is going to be different than the last one. And I'm going to trust God as I walk with him. We also build confidence in God when we belong to his family. That's what Scripture said. David said it actually. He said, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. The Lord doesn't rescue all people. The Lord rescues his people, those who belong to God. And as I just said, God created you for relationship with himself and with others. But God created you to belong to him. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your protector. And that happens when you put your trust in him. This is a great point. But we can't trust God with our fears if we don't trust him with our life. We want to trust God with our fears, but many people don't even trust God with their lives. You'll never trust God with your fears if you have not entrusted your life to God. If you want to increase your confidence with God, trust him with your life. You'll never, ever, ever regret it. Promise. Psalms 91 is a great scripture, but it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, David says. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him completely. That's what happens when you belong to the family. When you belong to this family, you know God as a father. Maybe it's not your father. Maybe you had a bad father. Maybe you had a mean or an angry father. God is a loving father. We also build confidence when we're convinced that God is present. And to me, this is a game changer for us. Because it moves God from being this distant being up in the sky, looking down upon the activities of our lives, and he is just a spectator, fully aware of what's going on, but he is there. But we learned in our last series that God is with us and he's in us. So when God is in us, and His Spirit dwells within us, we can be convinced that He is present at all times in your life. Look, when you're convinced that God's with you, then your confidence increases and your courage increases. Here's what God tells you. He says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. He also says in other scriptures, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never walk off and leave you. So confidence increases when we get an awareness of God's presence in our lives. Here's what I think. We become convinced that God is present because we start focusing on Him rather than our fears. You'll become more and more convinced that God is present with you as you think about Him rather than your fears. Your courage, your confidence is going to increase because you're going to look at your fears through the lens of God's presence. Just like David did, what do I have to be afraid of? What do I have to fear when God is with me? Why do I have to be afraid of what of the uncertainties when I know that God is with me? So let's just say that you have panic attack because of the future. The future is so uncertain, you don't really know what's going to happen. You can't control what happens. But here's what happens. Here's what we believe. We know that God is present with us, that God has been present in the past. We know that God is present in our current situation. So if God is present in our past, if He says that He'll never walk off and leave us, then we have to confidently believe that God will be there with us in the future. And when God is present, then there is no room for fear. There's absolutely nothing we have to worry about because we're a part of the family. We know that He rescues those who belong to Him. We know that He's present with us. That gives us confidence. Isaiah 26 says that God will keep us in perfect peace, all of us, when our minds are fixed on Him. So you can fix your thoughts on God and it will actually bring peace into your life. And here's a way that we fix our thoughts on God. It's not just about, okay, God's here, God's here. It's not just thinking, okay, God's with me, or man, God loves me. Or, those are all good things. I think one of the things that we've got to understand is we fix our thoughts on God. It helps us to continue to do that, is this: God has fixed His thoughts on you. Man, that's a great revelation. That is a great to be. It's so great to be aware of that God has fixed His thoughts on you. He never stops thinking about you. David writes it in Psalms 139. He says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. I'm using David's words to show David's confidence. We need to let our confidence increase. And that confidence can increase if we just in knowing that God is present and He never, ever stops thinking about you. God wants you to have courage. God wants you to have confidence in Him. And the last one is how we build confidence, or how confidence and courage get built in us, happens when we have experience in God's abilities. If you want to have courage and you want to have confidence in God, it happens and it comes when we have experience with God's abilities. That's what David said in 1 Samuel. I read the scripture earlier, but he said, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also rescue me from this Philistine. In other words, he's comparing what God did in his past to what he knows God will do in his present. I mean, as deadly as the lion and the bear were, Goliath was a much more formidable threat, much more powerful threat in his life. And that means that our fears don't get less in our lives. As our courage and confidence increase, our fears don't necessarily get smaller or get less. We get more in touch with God's activity in our lives, and so our fears become less powerful. Because you have experience with God, you recognize fear as a threat without substance. And I would tell you, I would encourage you what my parents encouraged me to do years and years ago, and that is that you would keep a journal and you would write down the things and the activity of God in your life, the big things and the little things. When you've prayed and you've said, God, I need you to come through, and God has come through, we need to be aware of God's activity in our lives because it builds confidence and it builds courage for the present, even for the future. That would be a great exercise for you even to begin today. I think our biggest offense is that we forget God's activity in our past. It's been big things. God has come through in big ways. We've prayed and God has come through, but we have forgotten how God has come through. And so what happens when we forget is our courage becomes a little less. Our confidence in God becomes a little less. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. I want to wrap this up, and I want, what do you do with this? How do you respond? Do you want to sit on the sidelines with knowledge about God and see what God might do in other people's lives, or do you want to be a part of His story? Because if you want to be a part of His story, then there comes a point where you have to put your beliefs into action and not avoid your fears, but face them with God. You might be here today and not have any experience with God's activity in your life because maybe you don't have a relationship with God. It's all right. You know what? You can begin. You can still take steps of courage, and you can do it based on David's courage that he's had. When David says that God will come through, David's experience of God's activity in his life can influence your choices to do and to face your fears with God. I'm going to read this last scripture. Just want you, with your eyes closed, just listen. David says this, "If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go." And you just got to get engaged with that thought that God cares about you. I don't know where you're at today in your life. I don't know what fear you're facing. It's interesting because somebody came and they were just a guest today in the first gathering, and they afterwards said, "I can't even tell you how much I needed that talk today because I'm dealing with something that is just paralyzing me." But you know what? I have to believe that God's guidance in this series is much greater than one individual. Maybe you need to be reminded that God rescues His people, or that He gives confidence to those who belong to Him. And courage comes because God's present. God's listening to you. He knows where you're at, and He knows what you're dealing with, and He wants to walk with you. He wants you to trust Him. Father, we turn to You today just with our fears, because our fears are great. Our fears are real. Father, some of our fears have real substance. They're not empty threats. But Father, we know one thing. We can be confident in You. We can have courage to face our fears with You. Father, You led David in some unique steps that I know You're wanting to lead us in. So help us. Help us, Father, to not be the answer to the challenge, but help us to see You as the answer to the challenge that we face in life. And whatever fears that we're dealing with, may they leverage us to a life of courage with You, where we take steps in a direction of uncertainty, not because we have the answers, but because we walk with You, Father. And we know that You've got the outcome. Father, I thank You for every person that's here. I thank You for what You're doing in their lives, and I know that this is a part of all what You're working in all of our lives. May we not run from it, but Father, I ask that You would help us to trust You, to lean into You. Father, we ask this knowing that Your thoughts never cease concerning us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.